Ladies, gentlemen, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn over to Luke chapter 15. And that is where we are going to begin today. And I titled today, A Father's Love, because I was really impressed with this father. And I hope you are too when we look at what all he went through and what all he did. That's Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11 is where we're at. We're going to open up with 11 through 16 right there is what we're going to do, okay? So y'all please follow along as I read the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything he had, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He was at his lowest of lows is where he was. This was once, we would assume, a son who came from a good family, and he had another path that he wanted to take. So he took all that he had, went off, squandered everything in wild living, it says, and then had to take a position as lowly as a pig farmer. And he was jealous of the pigs and what they were eating. That's how bad. He was that destitute. Let's open up with a word of prayer this morning. Father God, at one point or another in all of our lives, dear God, we've been down the wrong road and tried something out that maybe we thought was the right thing or the cool thing or the fun thing. And Lord, it just ended up backfiring. Lord, we see an example of that today. Father, as we look at your word over these next few minutes, ask God that you'll show us exactly what we need to see through your word. That we'll look at the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, and we might identify a little bit with him at a time in our lives where we've needed to turn back towards you. Especially maybe, Lord, some of our fathers that are in here today. Lord, be with us, Father God. Lord, as we just want to glorify you, we just want to do your will, Father God. Be on mission for you. Keep our eyes on you, Lord. Lord, we're thankful, Father God, for this time that we have in your house. And it's in your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you believe if I told you a father a lot of times is scared of messing up? Sometimes a father might not do anything before he does something in fear he might mess up. A lot of times that's true. But this father that we're looking at today, he showed grace, he showed compassion, he showed love, everything that he needed. Now, let's recap what Jesus is doing in Luke 15 too, okay? Let's talk about that for just a second, because Let's look at the audience that Jesus was talking to, too, is what I want to point out. And we get that audience identification right there in 15:1. And look what it says. Tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, teachers of the law. We're all in the crowd. So would you say that is a diverse crowd? That's different people, right? Most definitely. They're all around right there. And let's back up to what Jesus has just told them. What's it say right there? You can follow just 15:1. Look at that. It says, he talks about the parable of the lost sheep. Then he talks about the parable of the lost coin. Then he talks about the parable of the lost son. Three parables right there. What was the key word I just mentioned? Lost. So what's he saying to this group of people is what we're doing. We're recapping his audience. We're putting ourselves in the audience. Jesus is teaching. Listen to the words that he says. Listen to the words that are in the Bible that we're gonna grab onto right there. And it says, all three of these parables point to the sinner who repents from sin and turns from Jesus. You have to know our Father's love is that great for us, that he wants us to turn from sin and self, and he wants us to turn toward him. Now, we've got three characters in this story. We've got the father, we've got the younger son, and the older son. These are the three people that we're going to be talking about today, okay? So let's look at that next set of scriptures right there. 17 through 24 is going to tell us about the younger brother, okay? Let's see what he did right there in his word. He says, picking up in 17, he says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer even worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, he said, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. We see unconditional love from the Father. Unconditional. We see kindness. We see compassion. We see a father whose heart was broken and now it's being mended together. It's all right there in front of you when you look at it and you see. We should be fathers like that. We serve a father in heaven who is exactly like that. I'm going to tell you this story. Amen, we do. I'm going to tell you a story of this. I was 10 years old, and I think I've shared this once before. I was something horrible at baseball. I was just something horrible. I really was. I couldn't hit that ball to save my life. I was good at fielding and stuff, and I was fast running the bases, but I just couldn't hit that stinking ball. It was so hard for me. And I was the last batter, of course. I got to play in the field because I was good at that, but I couldn't hit. And it just really, really bugged me. And my daddy, although I wouldn't have blamed him one bit if he would have said, you know, I don't think this is your sport. Maybe you ought to find something different. I wouldn't have blamed him one bit, but he never said that to me. It didn't matter if I struck out three times in one game. We'd go home and he'd tell me how proud he was of me. And he did it every single game. He did. He loved me unconditionally. And I'd be like, man, I'd be so down on myself. And he'd say, don't worry, Michael J., you'll get them next time. You'll get them. You're getting it. You're getting better. You fouled one off tonight. And basically, what it'd be, I'd be in that little warm-up circle. You know what I'm talking about? When they call it on deck. You're in that little circle, and you stand there, and you're swinging your bat, and you're getting ready. And you got two of them because you're spitting your chewing gum, and you're swinging. You're making it strong, and you get up there, and you growl at the pitcher, and he'd throw that first strike in there, and I'd miss it every time. And I would literally get, Trey, where I was in that box, and I'd be saying, Lord, let me hit the ball. I don't know how to do it, but just let me hit it. Let me hit it. And I'm just praying my little heart out. I'm serious. This happened. This was at Spinner's Park. This would have been at Spinner's Park. And I would just sit there and pray. And one night the ball came in, and I hit the ball, and it went to third. I was left-handed. It should have went to first or second, but it went to third base, but I didn't care. And I just ran down there with all I had, and he threw me out at first, and Daddy was in the crowd. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, woo. And I was like, I hit that ball. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Because I was up there going, Lord, if you just let me hit it, I'll do everything you want me to do. Everything. I mean, you know what I'm talking about when you're throwing up them, please, Lord, help me prayers. What do you want from me? You got me. I'll do it. I finally learned, though, after 2 years, I learned to watch that ball. And, man, when I started watching that ball, you better look out, because I'd put one over the fence in a hot minute. And I went from 2 years of not ever hitting that baseball to learning to keep my eye on the ball. Now, what you're not knowing is my daddy probably spent $100 to $200 at Lagoon Park batting cages with me because I asked for help. And he said, you're just not watching the ball. And I said, I promise you I am. He says, you're watching the pitcher, son. You're not watching the ball. Just watch the ball. This came so easy for Gil. I was so worried that he was going to be the same way that I guess I just choked it in his head. Watch the ball. Watch the ball. Gil never had a problem. He hit like a champ from day one. You know, it's amazing, though, what just happens to us when we keep our eyes on the ball. Keep our eyes on the ball. Jesus shows us compassion. I do. I had a good dad who loved me, and I was thinking about when I read the story, it brought me back to that father having that unconditional love. Let's look right there. Let's look. Take a look at the older son right there. 20:25 says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. So when he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him home back safe and sound. The older brother becomes angry and refuses to go in. So his father went out and he pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your order, yet you never even gave me a young goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. We've got two different sons, completely two different reactions. Let's recap on the audience again who's there. Who do you think the younger son's relating to? Who do you think when Jesus is telling this parable, who's he relating to? He's talking to the sinners. He is, guys. because they're a long way off from a relationship with Jesus. And he's telling them how to come back, how to know what to do, how to come back into his love, how to be with him. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're like the older son. Think about it. This is true. They're like the older son. Jesus is talking directly to them. He is pleading with them to lay aside their own trust in their righteousness and their works, and to know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's not through works. Look at what, you don't flip, just listen. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God to us. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are all on the same playing field. We all have a chance to keep our eyes on the ball. All we have to do is look to Jesus each and every day. Will we struggle? Will we miss the swing and miss the ball days? Absolutely we will. But just like that picture I showed you, new beginnings every day. New beginnings every day. When we talk about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious leaders were going back to the law, trusting in a works-based system rather than experiencing salvation by God's grace through faith, is exactly what they were doing. When you go back and look at the older brother, look at the verses right there, how it says, "Look, all these years, I have been slaving for you." Not Jesus. He's talking about his dad. Me. Then he goes down to say it again. "You wouldn't even give me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Me. He's focused on the wrong things here, guys. His motives are all wrong. What are we truly doing it for? You better be doing it for a relationship with Christ and nothing else. You have to get to that point in your walk with Jesus where it's about him. We're not focused on ourselves. What good does that do? I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I fail all the time. So do you. You do too. I don't mean to scream, but I get so excited. But it's the truth. We see two examples in this. We'll read the parable, perhaps we can relate to one of the two brothers. Can you relate to one of the two brothers today? You probably can when you think about it. Maybe you're a long way off. Or maybe you've been right there the whole time, but your motives have been wrong. He says, the older brother, his heart is hard, and he's just worried about himself. Or perhaps the younger brother who squandered it all and ran as far from faith as possible. 32 says, verse 32, "But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found." That's exactly what it's like when we come back to Christ. We've been lost and now we're found. I think we can all relate to this story in one form or fashion. We've all been lost, but thank you, God, for sending Christ to us. That we don't go off the works-based system or follow the law, that we have a friend in Jesus and all we have to do is accept him. Benny Atchison inspired this message today for Father's Day. And he sends me stuff all the time. And sometimes I don't reply, but I normally read 9 times out of 10, unless it has to do with a bunch of cats, and then I just delete that one. But I'm just kidding. Most of the time, though, I read him, and he sent me this poem called The Father's Heart. And I want you to, you remember this? I want you to listen to this. Father's Heart. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. While he was still a long way off, the father knew the son's heart. He didn't say, "Here comes that scoundrel. What does he expect from me alone?" Perhaps we are a long way off from being what God expects of us. We're so far down that road that anyone else might suspect our motives. For calling on the Father, perhaps we are Christian for what we can get out of it. But God can see, even though the distance is great, the direction of our steps and the purpose of our heart. And if that purpose is a longing for a renewed relationship or a closer tie, God's heart will go out to us, even though we are still a long way off. Think about that words and what the brothers went through and how they had a kind father, a compassionate, a loving father. We have that father in Jesus. We do. Don't ever be a long way off from Jesus. Jesus wants us to draw near to him. Please don't leave today if there's a doubt in your mind about your relationship with Christ or about where you'll go if something happens to you. Don't leave this house. I've got too many prayer warriors that I could have down here in 2 seconds to lay hands, to pray, to do whatever it is you might need. This altar, I feel like a lot of times, is way too empty. We can't be having it all together. We can't. It's impossible. We live in too much. But are we worried about what our other person sitting beside us is going to say? That's where it gets into it. That's what stops us. When you stand up and we have that hymn of invitation, I can almost see the white knuckles from here because you know you need to do something, but you're too scared of what whoever might say or think that you didn't have it all together. There's no shame in that. We're all on the same playing field. None of us are perfect. Not a single one of us. Think about that. Let that resonate with you. The dad in the story right there, the parable, he knew the same thing. Neither one of these boys are perfect. They don't have it figured out. I got one who left home and squandered all his wealth, but he was lost, but he came back. And the other one's worried about, well, I've been here the whole time. This should all be mine. What are we even doing? Kick him out. It's the total wrong motives that we see. The Father is ready to hear from you today. Let's close. Father God, Lord, I leave it all out for you. I do. Father, be with us, dear God, as your people, dear Lord, to know that we're all on the same field, Father. We truly are. There's no one greater than another here, dear Lord. We're all just sinners saved by your grace, dear God. I thank you, Lord, for this time that you give us. Lord, for letting us come into your house, Father God. Thank you for blessing us with people, dear Lord, that we're able just to come to you, Father God, and take a moment, spend some time with you, learn from your word, dear God. Lord, be with each and every person here, each and every dad, mother, son, child, whatever is here, Father God. They need protection for this week. They need your blessing, Father God. Let it put your hands directly on them for whatever they may be going through. Lord, we love you. We truly do, Father, and we want to be more like you. Father, be with us as a church, Father. Be with us as we stay on mission for you. Lord, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus. thank you. These things I ask in your most precious name. Amen. Leslie, what song you got for us today?
The Savior is waiting.
The Savior is waiting. Altars wide open. Whatever God may have laid on your heart, whatever you might need today, if you need to come down and accept Christ for the first time, if you want to come pray at the altar, I'll get deacons down here, whoever I need. Don't delay. Come now. The Father is waiting. Truly does want to come in. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. I hope everybody, no services this evening. Go enjoy time with your families, your friends. Have a blessed and have a safe day today. Brother Marlon Seymour, will you close us today in prayer?